be on the next level. I'ma be rocking over that bass treble. I'ma be chilling with my mother crew. I'ma be making all them deals you wanna. Hello, everybody. This is Jessie Mae Peluso. I'm coming at you hot and live. Well, not really live. I mean, I recorded this live. I recorded this live in my apartment in Los Angeles for your listening pleasure. My first podcast, my first episode. I can't believe I made it. I made it in life. Kind of. Still trying to make it in life. But I'm so glad you're here. Maybe nobody's here. Maybe everybody's here. I don't know. I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to make it happen. This is my first podcast and I'm excited. I had one cute little beer that I drank, just one little one, because even though I'm a professional, I still get nervous. So I'm just keeping it real for you guys. I hope you are still listening. You haven't hung up already. Can you imagine my first podcast in 3 seconds? Everybody's like, no, no, not for me. Nope, not going to happen. No attention span. Sorry. Bye. Bye, Felicia. Everybody loves that. Oh my God. Everybody loves it. Bye, Felicia. Hey, calm down. Everybody calm down. You don't even know a Felicia. I know two Felicias. I had a teacher, Mrs. Felicia. It's her last name. Still counts. When I was in grade school. And I went to high school with a really cute, skinny, hot black chick named Felicia. Felicia Richards. Hey girl. Hey, how you doing? Her and I both had thigh gaps. We were skinny bitches. We united on our skinniness. Okay. So there you go. I know real Felicias. Bye, Felicia. I'm so excited about my podcast. I think we're recording. I don't even know, honestly, how to check the machine that I have. So there you go. Either you get a podcast or you don't. So you guys figure it out. Everyone's got a podcast. The whole world has a podcast. I gotta start a podcast. Just what I need in my life, to talk more. I want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to everybody. I talk to my dogs. So this is just the same thing I do at home when I've had two bottles of red wine. And now I just put a microphone in my face. That's the only difference. I just talk into a microphone instead of into Fozzie Bear's ears. And he looks at me like I'm an asshole, even though I've spent $600 on that little fucker. All these expensive dog stores, Petco, go suck a dick. You guys are ridiculous with your $37 dog toys. So I'm here with my podcast and my opinions. Everyone's got one, right? Opinions are like, what is that saying? Opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one, and I'm bleaching mine. I really am. I put anal bleach on my butt today. Because somebody gave it to me. So I don't know why somebody gave it to me. They're two little teeny anal bleach packages that I got actually when I was doing shows with Carly Aquilino. Her and I were in, I forget what city it was. She'll remember because she has a better memory than I do. But we were on the road doing shows and one of the radio hosts gave us little packages of anal bleach. And I've had it for 8 months. And I decided to put it on my butthole this morning. So there you go. Opinions and buttholes bleached. I'll let you know if it works. And then I can endorse the product. I don't like to endorse things. I don't know if they work or not. So we're going to have to wait on that one. Although I did check earlier and my butthole wasn't bleached, but the skin around it was. So now it just looks like I have a skin disease. Instead of like a nice porn star butthole, I just look like I have eczema around my arse. Hey, you know, I mean, oh God, all the things we have to do. I'm just trying to do a podcast and I bleached my butthole for the podcast. That shows you how backwards my priorities are. You know, I don't even have like a date set up for any time soon. Just the podcast. That's the only date I had. And I decided to bleach my butthole today for that. I was like, you know what I have to do? What's on the to-do list? I love lists. All I do is write lists. So on my list today, I had the bank. I had to go to the bank. I had to go to the pharmacy and pick up medication. My dog, Fozzie's on more medication than I am. So that little bastard, I had to pick up meds for him and meds for me. And what else did I have to do? Went grocery shopping. Oh, and bleach on my butthole. Those were the to-do lists that I had today. The things that I had to do. And I'm starting to regret it now. Because it looks like Michael Jackson mid-metamorphosis. Like, around my butthole is Michael Jackson. And then the exterior area is when he started to really consider his skin color. That's, you know, my whole butthole and the surrounding area looks like Michael Jackson's entire skin metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. That's a tough word. I have to Google that. Somebody fact check that for me. Spell check. Any kind of check. Just somebody give me a check, really, is what I want. Just a check. My manager, Justin Edbrook, send him letters, send him emails. He'll love it. He's been bugging me to do a podcast for 37 years. For like 2 years, he's been bugging me to do a podcast. And I'm late to the game. I have to admit, I'm late to the game. Maybe the game is late to me. You ever think about that shit? Everyone's got a podcast. So I succumbed. I submitted. I'm doing it. I'm doing it because you know what? Why not? People don't have rotary phones anymore. You have to evolve. You can't be one of these bastards that refuse to evolve. Because you know what? You know what you don't get? You don't get sexts. You probably don't even know what a sext is if you're still using a rotary phone. And sorry for you. You're missing all the fun because nobody can text message you on your dumbass rotary phone. You're not getting tit pics on that thing. So you better evolve. So I decided to evolve. I caved. And I'm doing a podcast. And I think it's going to be kind of fun. You know? If you don't know me, if you're tuning in for the first time into my life, if you're just cruising around and you happen to happen upon this podcast, my name is Jessie Mae Peluso. I'm a stand-up comedian. And I tell jokes for a living. How awesome is that? And if you know me, then what up? How you doing, boo? Thank you for coming back. Thank you for being a part of the greater good. Thank you for being on my side and supporting. I'm here for new and old fans. I'm open to all of you guys. Well, not like completely open. Well, I mean, that depends on how nice the bleaching turns out. Maybe it'll be a nice situation, and then I'll just have a petting zoo for my butthole once I figure this bleach situation out. Maybe I'm reading the directions wrong. I mean, it said just to leave the cream, the gel on, let it absorb, and then wipe the excess off. But the excess just went into my butthole. Oh, God. So Disney's probably not going to be a sponsor for this podcast. Can you imagine just like some Disney princess singing about bleaching her butthole? There are birds around the river. There are queens in the castle. There is bleach on my butthole waiting for Prince Charming. I mean, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. Oh, man. I feel so bad because Justin, a while back, when we were starting to do the whole podcast thing, when we started to embark on it months ago, and by nature, most comedians, most stand-up comics, we're kind of procrastinators, but we're ambitious procrastinators. We tend to put a lot on our plate and self-sabotage ourselves so we get nothing done. I am no different, but I've really tried to change that about myself. I've really tried to write lists and actually get them done. So, you know, we attempted to record a podcast together, my manager and I, and we did. And it was fun. It was great. You know, he's one of my best friends. He's become my family, and we have a really great rapport with one another. We bust each other's balls. We call each other out on our shit. And then I deleted it on accident. And this was around Christmas time, and I actually told him on Christmas Day. That was his Christmas present. I was like, hey, Justin, remember that really great podcast we did for an hour? Deleted. Merry Christmas. Hope all your dreams come true. Happy New Year. Yeah, so I have sat myself down after a very busy year and am embarking on this podcast career. So I hope you will enjoy my opinions. And even if you don't, that's cool. We can argue. We can debate. I'm open for a debate. I like to be challenged. I like to learn new things. So if I say something wrong, email it to me. Let me know. Let me know if I misused a word. Let me know if I misused a name or a fact. And I'll reply with a picture of my butthole, my bleached butthole, to let you know that I don't care what you have to say. No, I mean, seriously, though, if you have anything you want to say, please don't send it to me because I don't care. But I do care because I'm a comedian. That's our downfall. We are, by nature, insecure narcissists. That's what I call myself. We have enough balls to get up on a stage, but we're insecure because we need that love. So go out and see a comedy show. If you're listening for the first time and you haven't seen a stand-up show, go out and see one. It's kind of fun. It's one of the oldest art forms in American history, live performance. So I'm happy to have you guys here. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast. It took me 10 minutes to get to the name. I've listened to a few podcasts. I love Joe Rogan's. I love Bill Burr. And those are the only two I've really listened to, honestly. I've listened to a bunch of TED Talks, but I don't know if those are podcasts. I think those are just recordings of TED Talks because I like nerdy shit. But I don't like to study too much because then you start to emulate people on accident. So I'm just winging it, y'all. I'm winging it. And that was your first y'all. I'm not from a farm, but my name is Jesse May, so it fits. I sound like a gangster hillbilly with that name. Like I could milk a cow, but I might also know how to give you cement shoes and toss you over a river, make you sink to your death alive while you're engulfing water into your lungs. That just got really dark, and I would never do that. I'm a really nice person, so I don't know why I try to be so hard. Hardcore. I'm sitting here in my kitchen to make it sound real sexy. Carlin is my pit bull, a boxer mix who is sleeping in his cage with pit bull farts. I don't know if you have a pit bull or any sort of bigger dog, but their farts are horrific. It can peel paint off the walls. It smacks you in the face. It sneaks right up under your nose and gets right in there. So he's asleep, dropping death bombs. And Fozzie Bear is licking his balls, or lack thereof, where the balls used to be, over on an enormous chair that he doesn't have any right sitting in. I see you. I call him my 5-pound Mexican asshole. Because he's a chihuahua. I'm probably going to get letters about this. Dad, you're racist. I'm not racist. Chihuahuas are from Mexico. He's 5 pounds. And he's an asshole. If anything, I'm a factist. I got my facts straight. I'm also... I enjoyed a little libation. I had a little beer that I found in one of my bags from one of my road gigs. One of the benefits of being a comedian is people assume that you abuse a lot of narcotics and vices and alcohol, which is usually the truth. Usually that's just a fact. And I was doing a gig in Tempe, Arizona with my friend Marcella Arguello, who's an amazing comic. She opened for me. And there was a bar next door, and the guy gave us cans in a bag like we were homeless people, and we accepted like we were homeless people. Comics are one gig away from being homeless people. So I just found this beer. I think Marcella actually put it in my refrigerator for me. Mama's Little Yella Pilsner. Delicious. Refreshing. Brewed in Colorado, USA. So if anybody's out there that knows of this brewery... Mama's Little Yella Pils, delicious. And that is a non-paid for endorsement, just something I enjoy. So I didn't get paid to say that. It might be the first and last time, we'll find out, but delicious beer. And what did I do today? I went to Target. That was also on my list. I love Target. I love and hate Target because every time I go into Target, I literally had 6 things on my list. Basic household stuff. Paper towels. Toilet paper. I needed some scents for the house because my dogs smell like shit clouds. It's just a bunch of fart clouds in this apartment. So I needed candles to get rid of fart clouds. I just basic stuff. And I left and I spent $473. in 20 minutes, I blacked out. I had phone conversations. I go into Target and it's like a girl going into a club at night and she just does shots and she doesn't know how she got home. And she gets home and there's 30 bags of kitty litter, diapers, and all sorts of candle votives. It's like I just went in for tampons and I came home with all this stuff. I don't even have a cat or a baby. Why do I have diapers and cat litter? I got to get my shit straight. I always call my mom when I'm in Target. I called her because she justifies my purchases and also tells me to put shit down. She's my shop negotiator. She's like, step away from all the ting taps, Jesse. You don't need the ting taps. Put down the goddamn sacks. Didn't you go to Target for your tampons? Why are you getting goddamn sacks and bags? You just need tampons. Oh my God, that reminds me of that. What was that movie? So funny. We're the Millers. She kept saying tampons. Oh, you know, I had the tampon. But my mom says tampan. Tampan. It's much more nasally. Some guy actually touched me in Target. He touched me. He comes up to me. I we're getting real aggressive, real comfortable in 2015. I have this watch that I love that a company sent to me. This is going to sound like another endorsement. I sound like I'm meant for the podcast world. Second endorsement, 15 minutes in. But it's not an endorsement. I have this watch from Mulco Company, and it's beautiful. If you guys like big, funky watches, go to Mulco, M-U-L-C-O. They're out of Miami. Beautiful watches. I had it on. This guy touches the watch. He taps on it. He's like, nice watch. And I'm like, excuse me, Miami Vice, why are you all up in my shit right now? I was in the makeup department. I looked like a goddamn mess. This guy touching my wrist. And like, confident about it too. I couldn't even push my cart. It was so full of shit. This guy's touching me. I was just like, what the hell? What the hell's going on here in Target? Bastards are just coming up and thinking they can touch bitches. Weirdo. He had one of those weird bowling shirts on, those like silky ones with the embroidered patches on the shoulders. He didn't even have a cart in his hand. I don't trust anybody in Target without a cart in their hand. Why are you here? Everybody knows, grab a cart, grab a shopping cart. You need to grab something in your hands. Nobody comes for one thing. Everybody comes for one thing. Nobody leaves with one thing. Don't trust you. Bye. Bye, Felicia. Oh, man. I'm on my tour right now. I do weekends. I travel all over the place. And it was called the Mess America Tour because I was doing a show at St. Rose in Albany. And the name came about because I had just gotten off the stage, and I was walking towards the bathroom, and these two older women who were like custodians for the college barely spoke English. I think they were Bavarian. And she stops me. She goes, "You are famous?" And I said, "Yeah, well, kind of. Sure. I don't know." And she goes, "Posters, your face on the wall?" And I said, yeah, that's me. And she nudges her friend next to her, and she goes, "Oh, see, I told you, Miss America." They thought I was Miss America. I'm not saying this. I don't think I'm some beauty pageant knockout. I'm a very insecure person. But they legitimately thought I was Miss America. And it made me feel pretty damn good, even though I don't even know who Miss America has been for the past. I have no idea. I couldn't even name one girl who has been crowned Miss America. I have no idea. But just, you know, for these two women who are from different countries to think that I am, you know, capable of holding the crown. I was like, damn right, shorty, I am Miss America, hello. So I went to the bathroom, came back. My mother had just happened to come to a gig with me. And I told her, I said, "Mom, those two ladies back there thought I was Miss America." And without missing a beat, she goes, "No, hun, you just misunderstood them. They said Mess America." And I looked at her in the face and I squeezed her, because then at that moment I was like, that's the tour name, Mess America. How genius is that? So great. It encapsulates everything that I represent. I'm a total mess. I'm not a beauty pageant girl by any stretch of the term. Nowhere near any type of, you know, put together chick. And so I titled my tour the Mess America Tour. And I just put like a crown that was tipped to the side, put a little sash on. I don't know if any of you guys saw my tour poster. I found a picture of a chair on Pinterest. I sat myself in that chair. I had my friend Tanya Brown Photoshop me into a chair. I had Fozzie Bear in my lap. I didn't even wear a gown. I just had some, you know, kind of edgy rocker outfit on. And it was the Mess America Tour. And then I had to take all of that away because the Miss America Corporation sent me a cease and desist letter saying that I was infringing upon their trademark and that I was, you know, defaming their name and sort of ruining what they stand for. Here I am talking about bleaching my asshole, and these guys are worried that I'm going to ruin their pageantry. It's just so ridiculous, and I can't really say too much about it. My manager, I told him I wanted to talk about it. He goes, "Don't talk about it," and I was like, "Okay, I'll talk about it." Because I just think it's ridiculous. It's a big company that wants to shake down little people and people who aren't as, you know, influential in whatever, you know, way that they're influential. It's just ridiculous that I was really proud of that name because my mother said it and that was my connection to it. I didn't even think about Miss America. I didn't give a shit about Miss America. That wasn't even a thought in my mind. And I just loved it that my mom said it, that it was an organic moment her and I shared together. These two ladies thought I was a beauty pageant, which is a beauty pageant queen, which is hilarious. You know, here's somebody who suffered from chimples for 15 years, you know, and these girls think, these older ladies think I could actually hold the crown. So I had to change it. If anybody's wondering why, that's why. And, I, you know, if Miss America wants to come after me for telling the truth, then fucking come after me. I don't care. You know, what am I going to do? So I had to change it all. And so now I'm thinking about calling it the Jess America Tour. But that just doesn't, you know, I don't know. It feels cheap. I want to go back to the Mess America Tour. You know, you get into this career and then you have a team of people that help you do everything. And my lawyer, Jeff Cohen, who's an amazing lawyer, he actually was Chunk from the Goonies. That is my lawyer. That it's not a lie. Google it. Jeff Cohen. He's an amazing lawyer. Great guy. We all had a phone conference about this. And I was like, I don't want to change it. Why do I have to change it? I'm not trying to infringe upon their thing. It's just something my mom said to me. And I really was like, can't I just go to their offices and be like, hey, my mom said this to me. It has nothing to do with you guys. But no, that's not the way it goes. Anybody can sue anybody in this stupid, stupid, porous legal system that we have in the United States of America. Innocent people stay behind bars and stand-up comics can't use a cute little pun for their tour name. So whatever. There's no justice in the world. Children are still starving and I'm without a tour name. There's no justice. So I'm going to change it. You guys can send your suggestions. We're at sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com. And let me know what you guys think. Maybe I'll pick a name from one of you guys. But I'm going with Jess America Tour right now. That's that. That's what I'm thinking about doing. So we'll see what you guys, if somebody comes up with something more clever, or if somebody wants to knock on Miss America's door with me, I'm game. I'm game. Tell me what you want to do. We'll put back a six pack of Mama's Little Yella Pilsner and show up at Miss America's corporate offices in sweatpants with no makeup, being like, yeah, well, this is real America, motherfuckers. All that polished shit you're putting on stage doesn't represent the populace whole. Here's what America really looks like. So ridiculous, man. So I had to change his damn tour name. But, you know, I'm still on the road. I'm still doing the damn thing. trying to make the dream come true. You know, in the dream, it's pretty amazing to be able to do this career, to go to all these different cities, to tour, to perform live for you guys. I appreciate everyone that's come out so far for this tour of mine, this unnamed tour now. I love meeting you guys. And if I wasn't able to meet you guys, I apologize. Sometimes it's hard, but I do like to do photos and meet and greets after the shows. So please come out. It's a fun time. I hate saying that. Why do people fuck it? It's a fun time. It's so disingenuous. It's a fun time. I hope it's going to be fun. I don't fucking know. But, you know, that's what comedy's about. Sometimes you never know what you're going to get. You're going to get a box of chocolates. God, I want some chocolate right now. But yeah, I love what I do. So if you want to come out and check a live comedy show, please do that. JessieMae.com is my website. I'm going to be at the Columbus Funny Bone. That's going to be April 10th, 11th, and 12th. The Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. And then if you're in the New York City area, 24th, 25th, and 26th of April, I'll be at Levity Live in West Nyack at the Palisades Mall, which is one of my favorite clubs. Just jessiemae.com for tickets, and I would love to come for you guys to come see me. I usually have my friends opening for me, so it's a damn good time at the non-Mess America tour. Damn, man. Oh, it's so frustrating. What are you going to do? Move on. Let it happen. On this, my first episode, my first podcast here, I decided to have my dad be my first guest. I recorded this interview with him months ago, but what I can tell you about what we talk about is we talk about what he would name his vagina. My father and I, we have a very open relationship. I should probably say that first. But you probably already get that by me saying that we talk about what the name of his vagina would be if he had one. He's lived a pretty interesting life, you know. He dated a playmate when he was in Denmark in the 1960s, a Playboy playmate. We talk about how he used to sell stuff on the black market when he was over there with all of his friends. They would sell cigarettes and alcohol to get money to be able to take German chicks out. We talk about sexual Puritans and the sexual revolution, and we talk about how he met my mother. We talk about their divorce. So it's a interesting interview. I only had 30 minutes to talk to him because we had to go eat. So he'll be back again. He'll be a reoccurring guest, obviously, because he's one of my best friends and he's my father. So it's a short interview, but we covered a lot. War, my dad's vagina, and divorce. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. My dad's is a character. That's another thing people say all the time. Well, my dad's a character. My family's so funny. You should hang out at my house for Christmas time. You'll get a lot of material for your skits. But my dad is hilarious. Growing up, he was just fun. He was a fun dad. We used to do this thing. He would take me to the mall. I was one of those girls that was not embarrassed by her father. I loved my dad. And you know, when I was younger, my mom, when I was about nine or 10, my mom and dad got separated. You know, she kicked my dad out and then moved in my neighbor's father. Oh, why does Jessie Mae do stand-up comedy? Oh, maybe that pivotal point in her life. Yeah. My mother moved in my neighbor's dad, Steve, and kicked my dad out. So that's an interesting fact, a little factoid for you. At one point in my life, I had two stepsisters. I have two half sisters from my father's first marriage, and I have one full sister from my father and my mother. So I had a total of five sisters from five different marriages at one point in my life. And let me just tell you, we had to go to like six different houses on Christmas Day. So any guy that ever dated me, I was like, hey, we're going to need to take a gas stop because we have to go to 17 different households because there's 37 marriages between my mother and my father. Oh, the upstate life. That's what happens when you're from a town like Syracuse, New York. That's where I'm from. It's a common story. So, you know, there's no shame in it. It's just what happens. Parents get divorced. And then you have these sloppy relations between step and half and full sisters and all these different, you know, relatives that come into your life. But my father was amazing. You know, he was a really good dad. He used to take me to the mall, what I was saying before, and he would pretend to slap me. I know that sounds horrible, but he would pretend to slap me and I would go with it. Like, he would smack his hand against his hand, but make it look like he was hitting me in the face. And him and I thought this was hilarious. Looking back on it, not funny. Actually kind of offensive. We probably could have been arrested, but you know, those were different times. Now there would be 37 blogs written about him and he's not even a famous person. You know, a father fake slaps his daughter in the mall, but he just was fun. He just liked to have fun. And you know, his whole thinking when we were growing up, he always loved used cars. I must have had about 10 used cars that my father bought, and we would just rotate them between my dad, my sister, and I. When one piece of shit car would break down, we would just switch cars. I think his thinking was, if I buy 10 shitty cars, that equals one good car. So we just always had shitty used cars, and we always had to put them in the shop and get them fixed. And it was always so funny because when my dad would borrow my car or take my car to get fixed or whatever the situation was, whenever I got my car back and I came to an abrupt stop at a stop sign, all of his empty beer bottles would come from underneath the driver's seat and hit the backs of my heels. It would just be clink, 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 clink. All these empty Budweiser bottles would hit the backs of my heels because my dad is a little bit of a lush and obviously has no qualms about drinking and driving. So that was hilarious. My dad would just give me the car back and I would have to lecture him about all the beer bottles that he left in the car. And he would, you know, be like, well, you know, it wasn't me. Can you imagine if I got pulled over by a police officer and the beer bottle just happened to be at the base of my foot and he happened to see it and he'd be like, ma'am, there's an empty beer bottle at your foot. The truth would be they're my dad's. But nobody would ever believe that. That's a lie that people tell to avoid telling the truth. But it's my truth. Those were legitimately my dad's beer bottles. He just, you know, what are you going to do in a small town like Syracuse, New York? That's what people do. They drink. They do drugs. They bone. They get divorced. You know, it's just it's a cycle of all of this, and it's just what I was raised in. You know, I was in bars when I was 13, 14 years old. My cousin owned a bar in downtown Syracuse called Area 51. It was alien themed after the, you know, Area 51 site that is famous now through American history. And I think, was it Roslindale? Where the UFO was supposedly landed. So that's what my cousin's bar was decorated after. Just a bunch of aliens. And here's me, 14 years old, drinking. I used to drink the slow gin fizz. I just like the sound of it. Cosmopolitans. Oh, God, I used to drink the sugary, shitty drinks. And then he'd get raided because he always had issues at the bar. And he would throw me in the beer cooler with all the beer. I used to have to hide behind the cases of Heineken in a beer cooler when the cops came. 14 years old. I was destined to be a neurosurgeon with that sort of exposure. God, it's so funny to look back and remember all this craziness. You know, it's just what people do in these towns. They drink. They do drugs. They bone. It's just what happens, man. But, my dad was great. He just was a great dad. I'm so fortunate to come out of a divorce between my parents and to have a father that I consider one of my best friends. My best friend, actually, not one of my best friends. He is my best friend. We talk all the time. We're very similar. We love horror movies. He always calls me and leaves messages about the shitty movies that he watches. He used to let me watch horror movies when I was very young. And to this day, I am a horror movie fanatic. So if you have any horror movie recommendations, please send them to me because I am obsessed with them. I watch them all the time. Whenever I'm on the road, I always Netflix some horror movie, thriller. It doesn't have to be. I like all horror genre, the whole genre, B movies, creature features, thrillers, just you name it. I love all of it. Good movies, bad movies, paranormal movies, anything. I'm obsessed with that genre because of my father. And if you guys are, you know, Norwegians have made a couple really good movies. Troll Hunter, I recommend if you have time to watch. Troll Hunter is really great. And Rare Exports is another really good movie. Those are both on Netflix. Troll Hunter and Rare Exports. And actually, if you're into like the Paranormal Activity format where it's shot, where it feels like a live shot, you know, shot with a handy cam per se, that sort of Blair Witch style, a la Blair Witch. There's a really great Sasquatch movie. I'm always looking for really good Bigfoot movies, and there has yet to be one since Harry and the Hendersons, and that's a family movie. There has yet to been one that's a horror, exciting, thrilling, scary one, and I found one. Actually, I was talking to my friend Chris Hardwick about this because he also loves these movies, and I recommended it to him. It's called Exists. I have to find out if he watched it, if he enjoyed it, because I recommended it to him. It's called Exists. Check it out. It is on Netflix. I loved it. It was fun. But yeah, that's something that my dad and I share together. That is just one of our things. And drinking. We love drinking. What are you going to do, man? It's just par for the course. You know, it's just what happens. And besides, you know, that being one of his vices, he was a really great dad, a really, really amazing, amazing father. And I'm very fortunate. And I wish that the interview was longer for you guys as my first podcast. But hopefully it'll leave you wanting more, because he loves to tell stories and he's full of life and fun. And it's just a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. God, I fucking hate that word. But he actually, he's done stand-up in my shows when I was in Syracuse, when I used to do this show once a year at the Palace Theater, which is a really great theater, old theater in Syracuse, New York, in Eastwood. They play movies and they do live shows, so if you have a chance, check them out. They sometimes get really good performers there, Palace Theater. They were nice enough to lend me their stage to perform for 3 years in a row. And the last year that I did it, I think about in 2009 or 2010, I had my father come up and tell some jokes because he loves comedy and he's naturally a funny person. He does bar jokes, you know, just the jokes that are recycled through the bar, but through the bar scene, you know, where he hangs out at Change of Pace. So whatever jokes he hears from there, he told on stage, and he did great. I was so proud of him. He's got it. I was like, damn, you better get off stage because, you know, I don't want to have to compete with my father. But he was so cute. And then when I was home for Thanksgiving this past year, 2014, I did the Syracuse Funny Bone, which is going to be a reoccurring gig that I do Thanksgiving weekend. So if you're in Syracuse, New York, mark that on your calendar. I will be back this year. And if you were there last year, you saw my father on stage telling jokes, and it just was so cool. You know, this career comes with so much sacrifice. I miss everything for my family. You know, I'm in LA now. I'm living in LA and I'm on the road all the time. So it's just so hard to be away from them all the time. And to have my dad be on stage in my hometown of Syracuse, New York, at the Funny Bone, and have him tell jokes, it was really special. It was special. It was really cool to share that moment with him, and it was documented. You know, one of my friends, Rebecca Perry, she's an amazing photographer. Follow the Stars is her Twitter handle, Instagram handle. If you can look up her stuff, she's really great. She was there and was nice enough to take a bunch of photos of my father on stage. So now that moment is eternalized and documented forever. It really was really cool. And then my father came and visited me in LA a few months ago when I was performing at San Jose. I also had Marcella opening for me again there. And he did jokes there as well. My dad's a touring comedian now and he did amazing. And it was just so cool. it was so cool to share that moment with my dad and, you know, to just show him like all the sacrifice is worth it. I'm making a living doing what I love. And he was one of the people, he was really the conduit for me into stand-up comedy. He was my comedy conduit. He introduced me to comedy and comedy specials when I was a kid. And him and I loved Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder movies together. We used to watch those. I have all of them on DVD. So my father really is one of the reasons that I got into stand-up comedy. And it was just validating and special to share the stage with him, per se. So, that's Joe Peluso, my father. My father, the flatulent hero. So, I hope you enjoy the interview. I'ma be rich, baby. What? I'ma be the shit, baby. Check me out. I'ma be. Hold it right in your, just like that. What's on your glasses? You got a little speckle of something.
I did.
Don't put the microphone down.
No, don't worry. I'll take it off after. She meows. He meows all the time.
Why do you always call your cat she? It's a, he has balls.
My cat was female. All the cats we had were female.
Yeah, but this one's a male. How would you feel if I called you mom?
I correct myself.
Would you like it if I called you mom?
Yeah. I don't have a twat.
Dad! Well, that's the jury's still out on that. We're not sure what you have. The noises that come out of your body.
Yeah, I had one of those operations.
What operation is that?
I have a vagina now.
You do?
Yeah.
What would you name your vagina?
What would I name it? Come on in.
So you'd be a slut.
Oh, the biggest slut in the world. I could even for all the ones I missed.
You'd get even for all the ones you missed.
All the ones I missed,
Did you miss a lot?
Oh, everybody did. Nobody was lucky 100% of the time.
Talking to the microphone, Dad.
I was luckier than most, though.
Who was your type? What kind of? I feel like you liked redheads.
Redheads were my favorite.
So you were into those gingers.
I took out a couple really gorgeous redheads. I mean, they were outstanding.
You said you took out a Playboy chick one time.
Yeah, she was in Playboy magazine.
You sure she just wasn't in like a?
When I was in Copenhagen.
You sure she just wasn't arrested and she was in a lineup?
No. She showed me the magazine.
And it was Playboy.
I don't know. I don't think it was Playboy because the one you got me didn't have her picture in it.
So it probably was just the paper.
It was like it was one of the magazines they had there in Copenhagen, in the sex stores. That's what it was. She was supposed to.
What kind of narcissistic girl? It's like, here, let me show you my. Well, I guess if I was,
she was only 18 like years old.
How old were you? I hope this was a
24.
This is when you were in Germany.
Yeah.
So she said, "Hey, my name is Twat Number 5. Let's go look at my magazine layout."
She picked me up.
She picked you up in what?
In a hotel. Sitting in a dining room.
In the dining room?
Yeah, she walked to the door and she went like this with her finger. And I did the 100-yard dash in 9.2. I told her.
She waved you over with her finger.
She waved me over. She did. She was with some old guy.
What did he look? What did he look like?
She was a real hustler, this girl.
What did he look like?
He wasn't a bad-looking guy, but he probably was about 55, 60 years old.
He was with her when she tried to pick you up.
She left. She walked. She got up and left, gave him a kiss on the head, and walked to the door and gave me the come hither sign.
So how do you know it wasn't her dad?
It could have been. I forgot to ask.
You don't know how they roll in Germany. You know, they got loose.
This is Copenhagen.
Loose morals over there.
This is Denmark.
Oh, Denmark. What year was this?
62, I think. 62.
How old were you in 62?
I was 25. Oh, 24, actually.
You were a knockout. Oh. Thick head of Sicilian hair.
Joe Georgiana was with me. He got activated with me. He was
Joe Georgiana.
He'd jump out of cars and go after girls.
He looked like, you know, he looked like Cary Grant.
No, he looked like.
Or who was that old actor?
No, he looked like. What the hell was that? Little Joe on Ponderosa.
Nobody knows what Ponderosa is. Yeah. That a commercial? The hell is that?
It's an old old TV series.
On Ponderosa. That's a steakhouse where people
No, I know that.
They
but
get
it was,
like the shits from
it was
the Ponderosa.
Series, popular series, and he was Little Joe. Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie. Oh, wait. What's the guy's name from Little House on the Prairie? He died.
Yeah, he died.
What's his name? We can Google this. This is the best
Google
part,
it.
Dad. Do you know what Google is, Dad?
Yeah, I know. Google, yeah.
What's Google?
Google.
What is it?
Google?
Yeah. You said you know what it is.
No, I know. You go to, if you want to know something, go to Google.
Okay, but where do you find Google?
I have no idea. I don't have a computer. I have a cell phone that's a rotary.
Michael Landon.
Michael Landon.
Yes. I didn't even have...
That's Joe. Looked just like him.
I didn't even put it in. That's how much of a loser I am that I know his name
when
is
he
Michael
was young, young, he looked just like...
Joe Georgiano was a good-looking guy.
Oh, yeah. He still is.
He is still good-looking. You guys were in Germany together.
Yeah.
And this is where you found the red... Was he with you when you found the redhead?
No, he had already found somebody.
Yeah, I'm
sure
he did.
We had like 5 or 6 guys. We all went together. I think Joe was out with some girl that night.
What were you guys doing in Germany? Like, there was no... What was going
on?
We were
in Copenhagen.
Yeah, but why were you in Copenhagen?
Because our wonderful President Kennedy...
Talk about smashing
they
girls.
Had the Russians... Berlin was in East Germany. East Germany was communistic. Russians, they gave...
You're using
Russians,
a lot of big words right
they
now,
gave
Dad.
Russians East Germany after the war because they came and conquered East Germany.
Kennedy gave...
They let them keep the country. They turned it communist.
How great is that? You just, here's
so,
a country for you.
Well, West Berlin was free. West Berlin had three different... They had the Russian zone, the American zone, the British zone, and they had the gate, and you couldn't go into East Germany. They wouldn't let you in. It was against their principles. They didn't want the country to unite. So, they
so separated.
They wouldn't let any of the West Germans in. So anyway, he started some problems with the Berlin corridor. The Russians, they made the planes fly real low to go into Berlin.
That's some real stealth shit right there.
And so they made a problem for the United States.
Was it to be below radar?
In Berlin. They caused a problem in Berlin because of the screwing up the planes. They made the planes come in real low. And if you fly low, the plane gets buffeted like shit.
Because
they fly 35,000 feet. The Russians made them fly 10,000. And they aggravated the situation with the... The West Germans wanted to go to East Germany to visit their relatives. They wouldn't let them in. So he activated us. We got activated.
So you guys were there trying to bang redheaded girls.
We were there. We were a radar outfit. We had World War II radar.
Oh, you guys must look like just dapper dance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you have guns?
No.
Whoa, so what the fuck? You're just there?
No, we were there. Just
what were you doing?
Because we were troops. You know,
you just banging girls?
American troops.
How many girls do you think you snagged over there? Give me your ballpark number of how many girls were in your ballpark.
A bunch. Probably 10.
How many girls did you park your balls in? Give me a ballpark.
Probably 10.
10?
10, 12.
How long were you over there?
We were there almost a year.
Dad, that's almost one a month. That's not bad.
No.
You had to work for it, though. It wasn't coming easy.
Yeah, because you couldn't speak the language.
Oh, you're going to blame it on speaking the language? You know what? Dick is universal, Dad.
Yeah.
Everyone speaks dick.
I got one line down plant. Down pat.
What?
Will you sleep with me later tonight?
You learn how do you remember how to say it?
Du schlafen mit mir heute Abend.
Say it again.
Du schlafen mit mir heute Abend.
You still remember?
Yeah, it's my mom.
Is that how you got mom? Du schlafen mit Leuter Laben.
Du schlafen mit mir heute Abend.
Okay, I got one for you.
Sleep with me tonight.
Où voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Yeah,
look at the United Nations.
I met a French girl.
In Copenhagen?
In Germany, in the nightclub.
She a bitch?
She was French. No, she was pretty. I asked her to dance. We're out there dancing. And I had the stupid idea to say, well, maybe I'll throw some French on her. I said, parlez-vous français, which means do you speak French? She went nuts. She thought I spoke French.
And then you just stuck your tongue down her throat? And you're like, this is the only French I know.
That's it. That was funny. She starts throwing French at me. I played dumb.
What'd you do? Didn't you guys sell stuff like black market?
Whiskey and cigarettes.
So how did that work? You stole from...
We were, what did he call us? Our commander?
Yeah.
He called us because we're all from the Syracuse. He,
5 of you.
All no, the whole outfit was from Syracuse.
So how many guys?
Oh, it must have been 50 of us, maybe.
Wow.
50, 60.
And nobody
like
got
that.
Shot at. It was a total
peaceful.
No fighting.
It was just a show of strength. He just sent us over there for a show.
You just for strength, and you're out there finger banging redheads. This is what was happening.
We didn't do anything for a year. We sat on our ass for a year. We couldn't detect a pigeon in the air with the radar they gave us.
What was equipment Christ. Like? Just like
World War II equipment. It was. Oh,
in the
60s. This is 61. We got World War II radar.
Oh God, that's so good.
Oh my God. I said.
So was it just like a chisel in a
It's a blip. Radar.
A blip.
Picks up the object in the air and it comes out on the radar screen. You got to follow it.
So it's probably just you and Joe Georgiana's cock flying around Germany. Did the blip pick up your dicks everywhere?
Anyway, what happened was the base we were on wasn't big enough for the whole outfit. So they had to ship some of us over to this Royal Canadian Air Force base in Germany. So the commander knew about the Rat Pack.
He called us, you the Rat Pack?
Rat Pack. He sent us all the Italians, went to this Royal Canadian Air Force base, and we didn't do anything. We didn't even have a job. We didn't do anything for 10 months.
And so you were getting got paid and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. You got paid once a month. Was it twice a month? Once or twice a month you got paid. And the dollar was worth 4 marks, so you could everything was...
What'd you get paid every...
$142 a month. That sounds
oh my God.
Not like much, but you could live like a king in Germany with $142.
You guys just running
American.
Around.
American. Then we sold booze and cigarettes.
So where did you get the booze and the cigarettes?
We had like a PX.
What's that?
It's a store that soldiers can buy stuff in.
It's like a booze, base store.
Yeah, booze, cigarettes, whatever, you know, perfume, gifts. So we used to go in there and buy all the cigarettes for the guys that didn't smoke. We take their ration. You only got so many cartons you can
right.
get. So we get all the guys that didn't smoke. We grab their ration cards. We go over to the PX. We buy their cigarettes. We went to Copenhagen with a bag full of cartons of cigarettes on a military bus.
How'd you hide them? And nobody questioned you guys?
No, they didn't even check us. They didn't because you don't.
Nobody gave a shit.
You can travel in Europe very easily. There was no restrictions. You didn't have to even show anything. You just go. Get on the road and drive to Copenhagen.
Just full of these stolen goods.
So the guy says, in Copenhagen, we met this guy who owned a restaurant. He says, if you come up
again.
He owned
a what?
A restaurant, a bar.
A restaurant. How do you spell that word?
Restaurant.
Restaurant.
So he said, you guys come back up. He spoke good, perfect English. He says, bring me cigarettes, American cigarettes. So we bought them for $1 a carton. We charged him $6. And he was happier than a pig and shit.
Because it's so expensive over there.
He would probably sell a goddamn carton for $100.
Really?
Oh, they loved American cigarettes.
Because they're full of shit?
Their cigarettes were horrible. I mean, whoa. So American cigarettes were like gold.
Why were our cigarettes better? Like, I can't imagine our cigarettes
They were just
being...
better. They were
better at...
Better.
You know why? Because Americans are better at shitty things.
The tobacco was better.
Oh, my God.
So we sold that whole bag... cigarettes to this guy that owned the bar. It was five, six of us. We paid for the whole trip, the hotel, meals, everything. It didn't cost us nothing to go there.
And then is that where you finger banged everybody?
So Joey jumped out of the car. He saw this girl look just like, she looked like Kim Novak.
Oh, yeah.
She did. She looked like a dead ringer.
Hottie.
And he saw her and he said, stop the car. What do you mean stop the car? Stop, I'm driving. I said, what the? He gets out and he runs after this girl. Actually ran down the street after her. Scared
wow.
the shit. Scared the living shit out of her. You know, because she didn't expect him. And he started talking to her about being everything nice. And she saw how good looking he was, and that was the end of it.
And when did you see him again?
After a couple days.
Oh, my God. See, this is before... technology. Now you got to tweet and text and Instagram and Facebook.
Now it's like no text. They go like this.
Yeah, that's it. You know how easy it is to bang a girl now, Dad? You had to try.
The sexual mores in Europe. I'm getting hooked on phonics now.
Okay.
Sexual mores.
What's a sexual mores?
Where in America, it was like if you wanted to go to bed with a girl, you had to tell her you loved her. You know, it's one of those.
In America, that was
the
standard.
It was like really hard. Get laid
because they were so prude
in the 50s and early 60s. It was difficult
over
there.
The sexual revolution
over there, sex was just open. was something that was
expected.
Yeah, they weren't afraid of sex. I mean, that was okay if you wanted to have sex. That was
fine
with them.
Don't you think there needs to be some
with their family and everything?
Remember, we're just bang everybody. What do you mean with their family?
No, I mean the family. The mother, father, their daughter was active, sexually active. They wouldn't get upset about it.
You think that's bad?
Well, they weren't promiscuous. You know, they were fussy.
But do you think it's bad to be sexually open like that as a country?
No, it was wonderful.
Do you think we're too reserved?
Oh, we were like Puritans, babe. What did I call it? It's like the Pilgrims.
We were like Pilgrims. I mean,
we were
dirty.
Victorian.
I mean, thick clothing.
Sex was like, you know, here it was like, it was almost like a taboo thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It took girls years to get, what was it like?
To figure out how to give a blowjob?
'60s and '70s, it all opened up here.
Because it was so, you know, regressed and pushed down that it just exploded. And then, you know.
Yeah, women were.
Herpes was everywhere.
You know what did it?
Marilyn Monroe.
No, the pill. When the pill came out.
Girls turned into sluts.
Revolution started. They didn't have to worry about getting pregnant.
They were like, what? No baby.
Everybody was on the pill. Everybody.
Were you on the pill?
No, we didn't have a pill for man. If they did, I would have took it. But.
What do you think the pill for the man should have been called? Plan B.
No balls.
No balls?
Nothing in your balls.
That's long.
But, yeah, that was the whole thing. It opened up the sexual revolution was when the pill came out. Almost every girl that was halfway intelligent was on the pill.
Here,
in the United States.
But that's a lot of chemicals to be put in your body.
The 60s and 70s, it just blew wide open. There was no HIV. There was no... There was clap, you know, there was gonorrhea.
It clap, pa-pa-pa-pa.
All you had to do was get a couple shots of penicillin, and that took care of that. So it was nothing. Nobody had any bad killing diseases back then. So everybody was hopping in bed.
Were you hopping in bed?
Oh.
Dad, gross. Wait, so when did you meet Mom? How did you meet Mom?
I told you this. I don't want to put this on.
Come on.
On the tape. No, no.
No one's going to hear it.
What do you mean no one's going to hear it?
No one.
You're probably going to play it for your mother.
My mom's not going to hear this.
No, I met her in a bar.
What bar? What was the name of the bar?
Sammy Keys.
Sammy Keys.
Sam was a pickup bar in North Syracuse.
Why? What's a pickup
bar?
Well,
I always go there.
Are all bars pickup bars?
Yeah, right. Everybody was single and went in the place. You know?
Well, I mean, even
well,
if
well, maybe not everybody. Your mother wasn't at the time. But
anyway. Whoa!
And she just standing at the bar.
What'd she look like? Describe her.
Well, I saw her walk in. She was beautiful when she was young.
Well, how long was she? Had long hair?
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah.
Brown, blonde.
Yeah, she was very well kept. She had a nice body. And I saw her walk in by herself, and I said, "Oh, she's alone." I made like a.
You made a beeline.
Made like a sprinter in a race.
You're like Speedy Gonzales.
Because I was way far away from the bar, and I'm. And I run up, and I tap her on the shoulder, and I forget what I said to her.
Come on. This is a pivotal moment in your life.
I said something stupid.
Probably some
like,
joke.
I said, "I wanted to see what you look like." Something like that stupid thing. I tapped her, and she turned around. So then we started talking. Boop, 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 beep, beep, boop, got in the car. End of the night, went over to my apartment.
You got her in the apartment that night?
Yeah.
And then Emily was born?
No. And Emily was conceived after we got married.
But you guys were together ever since you met her. You snagged her that easy.
She was married.
Yeah, but he was a jerk.
Divorce was coming very quickly at the time.
And she was young when she got married. She was like 18 when she married
guy. Well, the marriage was shot. It was totally shot. I don't even think they had sex anymore. And he went his way. He had a girlfriend. I saw him come into the bar one night with a girlfriend.
Richie Mira.
I saw him come into a bar with a girl, and he was still living with Nancy.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So two-timing. And Mom was a knockout.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, she did her little thing with me.
Well, you're lucky because you got me and Em.
Oh, she came over one night to the apartment. She must have snuck out of the house. I can't remember.
No details. Don't give us physical details.
No, she brought a loaf of Columbus bread.
Oh, she knows a way to man's heart.
thought about me, but cook her dinner or something. I actually had a date with somebody else that night, but I didn't tell her that.
So what would you do?
I got an appointment. I got to go on this appointment.
You said an appointment?
I said, I've got to meet this guy about a job for an interview. I lied like a bastard. I don't know what to do.
At what time of night would you have an appointment?
I think she came to the door about 6 o'clock at night.
I got an appointment.
I'm interviewing for this job. I got to go meet this guy.
I got to get my knob polished. I got an appointment to get a knob polishing.
You know, I was single. You know, I wouldn't have any attachments. Then we, you know, kept seeing each other. And then she broke up, and we started going together. And we decided to get married.
How did you ask her? Were you romantic?
I don't remember. I was a non-romantic person.
I can imagine you just being like, hey, you want to
get married? It was like a mutual thing. You think we should get married? Yeah, we'll get married. Okay, so then we set the whole thing up. We were living together at the time.
Yeah.
In that house. We had a house.
The one on Burdick?
No, the one on...
near Schiller Park.
Right near Schiller Park. Yep. Little chalet. It was a beautiful house.
It was a dead-end street.
Absolutely gorgeous. It was too small, but it was beautiful. She loved the house. She didn't want to leave it, but... It only had two bedrooms.
You wanted
and
to put
small,
some seeds in
small, and the kitchen wasn't even an eat-in kitchen. You know, it was downstairs was kind of small, living room and a dining area, and then had three small bedrooms, and one bath. And then when Emily was born,
in the 40s, because she's old,
and she got pregnant with Jesse.
That's me, Dad.
With you?
Yeah, you said Jesse like
well,
she wasn't
I know,
in the
I
room.
I remember. I'm just telling a story here. And we decided, I told her I didn't want to work. I didn't want her working anymore. Because she was still working.
She was doing insurance. She was making good money.
She was making damn good money. She had a company car. I said, I don't want you to work. You want him another baby? I said,
why didn't you want her to work?
I didn't want her to work because then you got two kids. You got to shuffle them out every day to whatever, wherever they got to go.
Shithole daycare.
You know, it was, or somebody to come and watch them. It was just, I didn't want it. She didn't want it, really. She was happy she didn't have to work.
But then you had to take three jobs.
I took another job tending bar, and I was selling. I was making pretty good money.
I remember when you used to bartend, I would sit at the bar sometimes. You'd make me Shirley Temples. I felt like I was real professional.
Everything was good, but when we really got in a hole, we were married 17 years, and near the end of the, say, after 14 years, financially, we're getting into the hole big time.
Why?
Well,
she liked to shop.
I like to spend money, but she liked to spend money more. I don't want to, you know.
She liked tchotchkes. You know, every woman does.
She was spending too much money. We had $25,000 of credit card debt.
Where? JCPenney's? Or was it all for Chapels?
She had cards. I had cards.
Oh, my God.
It was awful. So I says,
I think you guys had cards in
then
our names.
We were fighting about money, fighting about finance. And I decided, she said she wanted me to leave, so I left. And I had a move in with my father.
I remember you moved into Grandma's. You were in
Grandma
like a closet.
Grandma Doris and my father.
You lived in a closet.
No, I had a bedroom upstairs.
Dad, it was you had a twin mattress on the floor. I remember
no,
that.
No. That was someplace else.
That was at Grandma's house.
I had a bed in a bedroom.
It was the smallest bedroom ever.
It wasn't. That's where Maxine and Michelle lived in there in two twin beds. It wasn't that small.
In the room upstairs, but you were in a small room. You were in the extra room, and there was books in there.
Well, that was when I got out of the service. I had a small room in the upstairs when I came back home. But with the split up, I had my own bedroom upstairs. It was a pretty good-sized bedroom.
In Grandma's house, that thing felt like a mansion, but I look at it now, and it is
it's small.
Smallest house ever.
So I stayed there. And
as a grown man living with your stepmom.
Oh, I didn't want to stay there, but she wanted me to leave right away. So I says,
bad living there?
My father says, what are you leaving for? That's your house. You don't have to leave. She told her to leave. I said, Dad, I got the kids.
Grandpa
Mike. I said,
I'm
not going to throw her out with the kids.
Grandpa Michael's like, kick the bitch to the curb?
There's no judge in the world is going to throw my wife and two kids out of the house. So she had to go back to work, which she hated.
But she did. She was an assistant teacher, teaching assistant.
Yeah, she wanted assistant teacher.
Because she loves
assistant.
Kids.
Yeah, she had with the school. And
when
I bought
point,
a house.
What point did you buy that? How long were you living at Grandma's? Because I remember you bought the house two blocks away.
6 months, not even a year, Grandma's.
Did you work so you could buy a house near us?
Well, I was making pretty good money at the time.
But you didn't want to be far from us.
And I wanted to be close. And this house came on the market and had an apartment upstairs. So I went upstairs to live and I rented it downstairs.
I remember that creepy guy.
Terry was there like 9-10 years.
Nicest guy.
Nice, a little dirty, creepy. You know, a little slappy, but he didn't do any damage to the place. Paid his rent ahead of time every month. He was a great guy.
See, that's where you're...
Great
you're,
tenant.
He was all...
One guy, no kids, no noise, no nothing.
Nothing, but he looked creepy.
Yeah, it was a little creepy.
This is where you judge people and you don't realize they're just good people. No, I remember thinking how creepy he was, but he was a good guy.
Oh, he was a nice guy.
Just to himself.
Yeah.
I thought he was...
He had a daughter, you know.
I know. I thought for sure he was like finger blasting bunnies in your garage.
No. He had a daughter.
Terry.
So he was there forever. And I had the flood, and the insurance thing covered the flood, and I lost the house.
You had a flood in that house?
Yeah.
The bottom part or in your part?
Upstairs. But it flooded the whole house. They had my tenants had left because I told them they're going to foreclose the house. Foreclose on the house. So they left. And when they left, I had the heat on 55 because I didn't want to pay for the heat. And the pipe broke upstairs.
Oh, that's right. The pipe cracked.
It flooded the whole upstairs, knocked down all the ceilings downstairs, all of them. The floors were warped. The hardwood floors were warped. It got down into the cellar. There was so much water coming. There was nobody there to shut off the water.
Oh, my God.
Terry called me and shut off the water. He says, Joyce, but all the damage is done. He says, the place is flooded. It actually got into the cellar and put out the furnace. The water got inside the furnace and shut it off. It didn't cause any explosion or anything. It didn't cause any problem. No gas leak.
Do you miss that house? I remember going over that house.
I should have never lost it.
That was a beautiful house. You were two blocks from Mom's.
I know. I should.
Do you remember when?
I was stupid.
You remember when I? Because you used to let me get away with murder. I had you wrapped around my little fucking pinky. I had you wrapped around.
Yeah, I know.
I'd ask you for anything, you'd give it to me. Remember when I took your car?
Yes, I remember that.
How old was I?
15.
What? So it was nighttime. I was staying over.
No, it was in the day.
It was daytime? Well, it started a day and went into the night.
Yeah, I'm standing in the driveway waiting for you.
But you trusted me.
I grounded you for a month. I won't let you drive for a month.
But the problem is, you let me drive, so I like to drive. And I asked you, I remember being like, Dad, let me just take the car around the block by myself.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
I was like, I'll
And
just
then you were gone.
For how long?
2-3 hours. And I waited in the driveway all that time.
And this is before cell phones.
Yeah, I was so mad.
You had no
way. I wanted to kill you. I said, you get in an accident, I'm going to lose my house, my car, everything. Because you got no insurance, you got no license.
No, I was 15.
You're driving my car.
Was I 14 or 15?
15 you were.
And I remember when I drove, I went and picked up all my friends.
Yes, you did.
I picked up 3 different friends.
You picked up your friends and you took them for a joyride,
I
guess.
I remember when I drove by and I beeped at you and I kept going. And you're just swearing in the... Did you ground me? What did you do?
For a month.
No driving?
I wouldn't let you drive my car for a month.
Yeah, but you probably did other shit. You probably took me out shopping.
That was easy. That was just easy. I should have not let you drive the car at all, but I was a sucker.
I took your car at 15 years old.
I can't believe it. Well, you were a good driver.
I was a really good driver.
I didn't think you were getting in an accident.
No.
Emily was a good driver, but she couldn't drive stick shift. Remember that Toyota I had?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stick, four speed? She could not drive a stick shift.
Emily's a little
retarded. I bring her down to the parking lot down in the... Where Syracuse China was at night, the parking lot, huge parking lot, empties. All right, come on. Speed up the clutch a little bit, give it the gas, and she stalled the car every time. No, a little bit. No, and then she'd give it too much gas. I said, no. And she pulls the clutch out of the car, goes, leap forward, and it stalls. Oh, my. So I said, Emily, you're never going to learn how to drive a stick shift. You didn't drive it either.
Well, Emily's smarter than me, which is the funniest part.
That was before you were old enough to drive, I think.
Dad, didn't matter. You still had me. You let me whip around the car before I was old enough to drive.
No, I know that. It was no big deal.
I remember once when you were still living in the house. And because you're obsessed with horror movies. You and I love horror movies.
Still do.
Still do. You call me during the worst ones and tell me what's going on and how bad they are. I have voicemails saved from you telling me how horrible these movies are that you're watching. But I remember when I was like 8 years old and we were downstairs in the den. We call it the den. That's a white trash version for where you keep your TV.
What time is it?
It's 7:05. We're going to leave in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Remember when you were watching Child's Play, forcing me to watch it?
Child's Play?
With Chucky.
Oh, was Chucky?
Yes, oh. Laughing your ass off. Mom was screaming at you from the kitchen because, Joe, you're going to rot her brain. And I'm like, I don't want to watch it. You're like, just watch the movie. Because you love that. You laugh at those movies.
Yeah, I did. I did that to your mother one time. We rented movies back then for Blockbuster. And oh, we were living.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Blockbuster.
We were still home. We were getting along pretty good, but it wasn't. You know, it wasn't near the end of the marriage. And I brought home this horror movie.
And you bring home the horror movie. I don't like the horror movies. They're stupid. They don't even scare me.
Well, the movie scared the shit out.
Oh, that's why she doesn't like them.
Scared the shit. They showed this girl.
What was it?
Was this guy with an axe. He was killing people with an axe.
You don't remember the movie? The movie. Come on. You got to remember the name.
So they got this girl, and she's topless, and she's in the bedroom. And he walks in, and she sees him coming, and she gets up against the wall. And he hits her right here.
In her neck.
And her head stayed there, and her body fell down.
And you laughed your ass off.
Your mother almost jumped off the couch, scared the shit out of her. It was so real. You know, and her bottom drops and the head stays up.
That?
I can't remember.
Oh, come on, Dad. You can't forget these movies.
All right, so we go.
Yeah, okay. You're going to just get up and go?
Well, we got to go out.
We're going to go eat at Joey's.
Mm-hmm.
Say goodbye.
Is Bob and your mother coming?
Yeah, your mom's boyfriend, Bob.
Bob? What about Bob? What about...
Forever.
He walks like John... No, John Wayne. He walks like Gabby Hayes.
Nobody knows who Gabby Hayes is. Who's that?
Old Western sidekick. Old, this guy.
Do you like Mom and her boyfriend?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah?
I hope he's straight, that's all.
Like a good guy?
Yeah, I hope he's not taking advantage. That's all I worry about.
You're a good guy.
Oh, I know. She realized that after a number of years.
All right, I got one more question for you.
What?
How many times do you think I farted last night?
At least 10. At least 10 times. And then you had the double one. So, then I think you had a triple. Too.
I learned from you, Joey
yes,
P.
Yes, I know. All right.
Love you.
Sign off. Bye.
Say love you.
I love you very much. You know that. Okay. Bye-bye.
In the future, I'ma be the hoe. Reason why you even wanna come to a show. You can see me while I'm rocking and I'm kicking out a dough. I'ma be up in the club. Doing whatever I like.
Are we recording? Let's see. I don't even know how to check if I'm recording. I think I am. Yes, like father, like daughter, we ended on farts. Farts are always funny. It's just something my father and I share. We think farts are funny. My father was always the guy to do the whole pull my finger thing. And my mother, honestly, I can say I've heard her fart twice in my whole life. And it sounds like a crypt door opening. And dead souls fly around the house whenever she's farted in her life. Because those are brewed up. Maybe only be two, but she's a lady. But that's a lot of backup. My dad, on the other hand, he's a farter. He loves farts. It's just fart humor is just unfortunately... one of our downfalls, our downfarts. Oh my God. And it's just, he's so silly. He's so goofy, man. He just honestly, he'll lift his leg. That's how horrible it is. He'll lift his leg and he'll let out a squeaker that will devour your whole household. That's what happens. It's horrible. And I don't fart. I've never farted in my life. So there you go. I'm a lady. I think I said the word retarded. I don't want people to send me letters about how I shouldn't use the word retarded. First of all, I have a mentally ill cousin, so I have the right to talk about it. But retarded is not a word that I use. It's not a word that I use in my comedy. I'm not against anybody using it. I don't really, not much offends me, but I'm not a comic that just uses a word in her set. But I think I might have said it while I was interviewing my dad, and there's just a funny story that I remember. The same gig I did where the women thought I was Miss America. You know, most of these colleges have some restriction on content because you're performing for college students and the colleges don't want to get in trouble. So they generally try to restrict a little bit of what you say. You know, it's not a complete prison of your comedy, but there still are some things that you have to stay away from. So I went to St. Rose College in Albany, New York with my mother, and her boyfriend Bob was there, and I had my friend Andrew Williams opening for me, and we're all in the back room with the student association, the girl who put the whole show together. And I always ask, I'm like, is there anything that I should stay away from material wise? And she said, well, no, you can pretty much just do whatever you want. Have fun. We specialize in special education at this school, so maybe just stay away from the word retarded. We don't condone that vernacular, and that word isn't just something that we use in this school. We sort of look down on it. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't say that word. I don't use it in my stand-up. Andrew said he had one joke that he used it for, and he was like, oh, no problem, I won't do that joke. So that was it. We talked about it for like 5 minutes. Talked about it with my mom, like, oh, I don't even use that word, whatever. And we might have said the word retarded 10 times while we were talking about it, only within the context of the word, like, oh, I don't say retarded, blah blah blah. So Andrew goes up, does his set, doesn't use the word retarded, fine, great job, introduces me, brings me up on stage, I do my whole set, great, didn't use the word retarded, wonderful. But it's just that sort of thing that happens in your brain when you're told not to do something, especially as a comedian, because we have naturally rebellious brains, that is almost a subconscious thing. Because I was told not to say the word retarded, my brain, I think, kept it in the chamber for whatever reason. I made it through a 45-minute set. And then at colleges, I do a Q&A afterwards. And I'm in the middle of the Q&A, and this one girl asks a question, and the question was something like, why are you so pretty and funny? And somehow we got to a place where I was like, oh my God. She was like, no, I just mean, like, you know, it must be hard to like be funny. And I was like, it's not that hard. Like, do you think I'm, you know, you think I'm up here just kind of retarded? It didn't even make sense. The retarded didn't even make sense in that context. I think my brain just wanted to get rid of the word. And the moment I said retarded, I think I peed my pants a little. I was so nervous because that was the only word the girl told me not to say. And I look over to the student advisor and the association girl who set the gig up. And I just looked at her and she just covered her face, put her face in her palms. And I just was like, thank you for the Q&A, everybody. Have a great night. And I got off stage and I'm like, I can't believe I said retarded. I didn't mean to. It just came out. It didn't even make sense where I put it. It was almost like my brain just wanted to be like, blah, retarded, blah, and get it out of my brain because it was too much pressure to hold on to the word that I wasn't supposed to say. So that's my retard story. That was just, and my mom afterwards was like, hon, the one word you weren't supposed to say and you had to say it. They told you not to say it in the green room. Okay, Nancy, you just calm down. Let's go on this Mess America tour and get sued. So this has been my first podcast. It's been a lot of fun. I have to say, it's so much fun. If you guys have any questions, please send your questions to me, sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com. I try to get to everything I can get to. I try and answer everything I can. My assistant, Liz Perez, does help me out sometimes. She helps me out with this podcast, and she helps me answer questions, but I do try and answer them personally And I will say it's me. So whenever you hear that it's me, it's me. But please, any questions you have, you know, movie recommendations, if you have any dating advice, I am open for that because I've been through a lot and I'm interested to see what my dating life is going to be now that I have a bleached asshole. I think that I should start dating oil tycoons and CEOs. I can't imagine a CEO dating a girl without a bleached asshole. That's like a Roth IRA situation. I mean, if you have a bleached asshole, you should be dating guys with yachts. So Leonardo DiCaprio, here I come. Move over, Rihanna. Is your asshole bleached? I doubt it. Mine is. Well, not yet. We're going to see what happens. I'll check in with you guys next week and see if my asshole, if the skin tone has matched. Because right now, it looks like the fleshed, the face of a 14-year-old boy who's embarrassed. My butthole looks like an embarrassed prepubescent male teenager. Oh my God. Yes. sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com for questions, concerns, bitching, whatever you want to send there. Just no dick pics, please. I know some of you guys get excited. I've had a couple of you send me dick pics on my Facebook fan page in the message area. No, I don't want that. I don't know what about me says send me your dick pics from jail. I mean, I'm cool if you're in jail. We can talk. I'll help you pass the time. You got a lot of time, so I'll help you pass your time. But I don't want to see your dick pic. And you know, to the guy who sent me the dick pic, you know who you are, and you're not even, you're just limp. You have a limp dick pic, a limp dick pic, limp biscuit, your limp biscuit dick pic. No thank you, sir. I don't know if it was your dick or a light switch on the wall. It's not romantic. It looks clinical. I don't know if you have a problem, a skin problem. Maybe you want to bleach your asshole and you just took a picture from the wrong angle. But no thank you. No, thank you. I'm going to tell my dad on you. I'm going to tell Joe Peluso that you're sending me dick pics. We'll see how you deal with that. Guinea from Syracuse. You don't want to deal with Italians from Syracuse. Two things I want to talk about before I get out of here. X-Files is coming back. Anybody who is fans of that show, I am so excited. It's one of my favorite shows. My dad and I used to watch it together. So I can't wait. I can't wait. I love the movies they did. I watched the reruns and I love David Duchovny. I love Gillian Anderson. I think they're amazing. She's really great in The Fall. It was a series on Netflix. So if you can check that out, check out The Fall. She's just an amazing actor. I've always loved David Duchovny. I think he's very vulnerable and hot and funny and a total babe. I'm very excited about that. The nerd in me peed in her pants a little that is coming back. And not to mention, hello, they're talking about bringing Full House back. Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, X-Files and Full House. You tell me you're bringing back Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and you know, Criss Cross. I'm going to die. The 90s kid in me is going to explode. NKTOB, NKOTB, I can never get that right on the block. NKOTB is on tour. X-Files is coming back. Full House is coming back. I mean, new ideas are dead in Hollywood. That's a summary. Creativity is dead, but you know what? The 90s kid is back. So who gives a shit? I am so excited about Full House. I'm here, by the way. Vince Gilligan, if you want, I will play any role in your X-Files. I'm sure you're going to have a part of it. So, you know, whatever. Just bring it on. I will be an alien. You don't even have to show my face. Make me an alien in the field. Make me a pile of cow crap. I don't care. I'll wear a cow crap costume if I can be on the X-Files, the new X-Files. And Jeff Franklin, don't think I don't know you, buddy. Put me in Full House. I want the Becky Donaldson role. Stamos knows who I am. He's being really coy. And I want to play Rebecca Donaldson. And I think the world deserves to see that. They deserve to see John Stamos and I in a role of a lifetime. And I'm not talking about the Lifetime TV movies he played. Don't think I don't follow his career. I know what he's doing. Fuller House? That's what they're thinking about calling it? Yeah, well, I'm gonna have him fill my house with his souvlaki. So just call me. I'm available. Are you kidding me? Carly tweeted me. Carly Aquilino tweeted me because the Hollywood Reporter sent him had an article about Full House coming back, and Carly tweeted the article to me, and she said, "Is Jessie Mae going to play Kimmy Gibbler?" No, Carly. I'm going to play Rebecca Donaldson because everybody knows she played John Stamos, aka Jesse Katsopoulos, his wife on the show. And everybody knows that's the appropriate role. I'm not going to play Michelle because that'll be weird when I'm tonguing Uncle Jesse. Michelle doesn't make out with Uncle Jesse, but if I played Michelle's role, I'm going to really make this Full House show very, we're going to turn a corner. It's going to become Seventh Heaven. That stupid bastard from that show. Are you kidding me? Seventh Heaven. That dumb bastard. Okay, I digress. Let me stay on track here. But I'm just telling you, it's going to have to be Becky Donaldson's role, Jeff Franklin. So all these other dumb actresses that you're seeing for Fuller House, toss them to the side because Jessie Mae Peluso is available. John Stamos knows who she is. Let us embark on our professional and personal careers together. Our professional and personal lives. Let it begin with Fuller House. Yeah, so I'm very excited. A lot of great stuff. A lot of great stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with my dad. He is an amazing person. And I'm going to play you a voicemail that he left on my phone. One of his favorite movies is Blazing Saddles. And we ended the interview talking about farts. So I thought it only appropriate to end the entire podcast that way. Keep it thematic. Keep it flatulent. Keep it fresh. Well, maybe not so fresh. Here is my dad leaving me a message. He leaves me a message probably 3 times a week, and I try and keep them all. So I'll be dispersing these throughout my podcast career. I'll be sprinkling them into each episode. And don't forget sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com, jessiemae.com for all of my tour dates on the RIP No Longer Mess America tour. It is going to be the Jess America tour. If you have a better name, send that to me. Send me your horror movies. Send me your dating advice. Send me your problems. Just don't send me your herpes.
Hey, Penis Dad, how you doing out there? I don't know if you're working tonight or not, but anyway, I was just wanting to tell you I was watching. My mother gave me a copy of Blazing Saddles. I put it on. I just seen it a couple of times. They had the fart scene. Remember the fart scene? Oh, I was laughing so hard I was killing my ribs. I was laughing. Oh, you know, I like farts. You know, I'm a fart fan. Oh, my God. Mongo. Oh, Scarus Mongo. You got him chained up there. Oh, he puts his head in the fire to light a cigar. Oh, this movie's crazy. Funny movie. Funny movie. Okay. Love you. Bye-bye.
I'm a B, rockin' there. Apple D, be infinite. B-E-P, we definite. Lee on some next level shit. Futuristic music lead. Powerful with energy. From the soul, we sonically. Sending positivity.